B-Pod Studios.
Sub. Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good licks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2 seconds left in this one, and the horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask was brilliant tonight. Patrice Bergeron scored twice, both coming on the power play. The Boston Bruins again have come on the road to even a series at 2 games apiece for the Blue Jackets. It's the first time they have lost on home ice here during the playoffs. It's going to be game 5 in Boston on Saturday night. Your final, Bruins 4 and the Blue Jackets 1.
It's final hour of an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bruins last night, Celtics tonight, Sox last night on the board. You guys have been waiting patiently. We'll zip through your calls and then sort of circle back to some of our Bruins thoughts from last night. Let's go to Noah in Westfield on the Bruins. Go ahead, Noah.
Hi, guys. Two quick thoughts. One, I think that Tuukka Rask still doesn't deserve enough credit. I think that he is really playing his heart out, and he's been the best player on the team. And second, I think that the Bruins should add part of that first power play line. Pastrnak struggling yesterday. I really think that they could use him maybe in front of the net. I mean, Burrowski has played pretty well.
I'm not putting Pastrnak in front of the net. He can't stand up along the boards. He can't stand up in mid ice.
He can't stand.
Well, he can't stand anywhere. We're going to put him in front of two huge defensemen. What are you, nuts?
He's already taken enough of a beating.
I'll go back to Pastrnak here in a second. I think that's a huge issue going forward. Rask isn't getting enough credit. What are you, crazy? Everyone, even the biggest...
He's the best player in the series.
Even the biggest...
For the Bruins.
I haven't heard anyone say Tuukka's play is overrated or any. Even the biggest Tuukka doubter is giving him his due that I've heard.
I mean, look, last night, he just jumped to a different level. It's that simple. He was absolutely dynamite in that game, and he's been good the whole series. I mean, he's been good the whole series. Last night, he was great.
Mike in Danvers on the Red Sox. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, how are you? I know we gave Cora a lot of credit last year, but I got to tell you, you know, Brazier's been scuffling a little bit. He really has. So my question is, when it was first and third, and he didn't look that good, why isn't someone up in the bullpen behind him? Why isn't someone throwing out there? I mean, you got to have someone ready. And I mean, if it was Girardi, he would have had him out of there. So I'm just curious what you guys think about that.
So I'm not totally convinced of that. And again, I didn't see the end of the game live, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I did. But I would tell you that I was just trying to look up the number of pitches because it felt to me like that all unraveled pretty quickly. And typically, you know, if a guy gets into a little trouble in the ninth and he's your quote-unquote closer – and Brazier's gotten the most save opportunities, so he's the closer. You don't just hit the panic button and take him out. You let him fight his way through it. And he didn't. So now if you want to get into the bullpen, I mean, I think you start taking a hard look at Dombrowski and what they built if you want to get on the bullpen. To me, that's where I would go.
John and Gardner on the Bees. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? Two quick points. I wanted to say that I was, like, really impressed with Backes last night. I know he's been sitting for a few days. For a few games, but him taking that elbow and ended up having to go down the tunnel and then coming back and then taking that penalty in front of the net of the goalie, almost goalie interference. I'm glad they caught that.
Yep.
But my other point is that them not catching that puck going into the net, you know, I think it kind of fired up the team a little bit because they knew, they got kind of screwed on the play. But I was always taught that the puck never lies. So that's where I'm going to leave you guys. I'm going to shut off my phone, and I hope you guys have a good day. I'm just going to listen, all right?
Okay, babe. You too. I don't get the puck never lies thing. The fact that they couldn't replay that is just mind-boggling, mind-numbing. We talked about it a bunch earlier. I think it's all pretty self-evident. It is insane. Insane that that's not reviewable in the NHL. He mentioned Backes.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad he brought him up because we haven't talked about him yet.
Go ahead.
I think he gave them what he needed to give them. And so, again, the penalty was – I had forgotten about that. It was a good point. He did. He drew a penalty there. And, again, it came from being in the front of the net and, you know, got absolutely popped in the process. And he made a great tip at the end of the game, albeit, but on that save that Bobrovsky made at the end.
Oh, my God. He should have had a goal there.
I think we said yesterday before we went off the air, just score while he's on the ice.
And they did.
And they did.
he was behind the net that helped get it back to Chara that got the Crowley goal.
I mean, so you know what? Good.
He felt his presence. Right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'd play him again.
You see him light up that defenseman. He had one massive hit.
Yes.
Sort of an open ice. I can't remember who it was. It was at the bottom of the screen because the puck was long gone. And he finished his check and lit the defenseman up.
Yeah, and he was willing to throw his body around last night. He was doing that. You know, he wasn't always in screen, but you could catch him just on the side going up against a guy against the boards. So it wasn't highlighted per se. But to me, absolutely, he did exactly what you thought he would, and they scored a goal while he was on the ice. Do it again.
David and Hull, what are your thoughts on the Celtics tonight?
Yeah, so Mike, I think like everyone's talking about the Bruins' path to the Cup and how it's open, and I think we're underestimating how monster of a game is tonight. I agree with Maz. I don't know if this Celtics team can come back. I think they're a front-running team. So if they win tonight, have you seen that Philly-Toronto series? Like, if Philly beats Toronto, guys, Philly has no chance against us. So you're staring a finals appearance in the face, which keeps Kyrie, which opens up Anthony Davis. I mean, tonight is a monster game for the future.
Is the door jar? Thanks. I'm just cut you there. Is the door jar for the Celtics a little bit like it is the Bruins?
I was just going
to
say
that. To get out of the East.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto is a bigger foe than Carolina.
Yeah, just because they can't win there. But outside, again, I said it earlier in the week.
What if it's Philly?
No, the Celtics absolutely should get to the finals if it's Philly.
They will wipe their behinds with Philly.
They've owned that team, whether they have home court or not. Hell, they beat them last year. And I know Philly's made a couple of additions
there. They beat them in five last year.
Right? And that was without Kyrie and Hayward. So they should wipe the floor with Philly. It shouldn't go past six.
Okay. If the Celtics lose one of the two here, does it change your opinion? Because you and I, Murray, are confident in the Celtics. If the Celts drop one of the two here, and Milwaukee gets home court back, does that change your mind?
Depends how it looks. Does it play out like the last game that they pack it in, being down 10, you know, in the third quarter? Then, yeah, I'm going to have to reassess. But no, if they lose a nail biter, no. I still think the Celtics are the deeper, better team.
It should change your mind. I mean, I told you, I didn't think this series was over after game one. I need to see what happens if they lose control of the series a little bit. Right now, that hasn't happened yet.
Tom and Quincy, how do you feel about the Red Sox bullpen?
You guys, please. I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. But to answer the call a couple calls ago when he said, why did they have anyone up there? Well, Brazier was having a tough time. Because everyone else sucks. So what are you going to do? You're going to put whoever sucks in? Like, please. So you let the guy try to get through it. The problem is he can't close it out. And he was one of the only guys that I had faith in. But every time that there's a situation with the Sox bullpen like there was last night, just goes back to when I remember calling you first week of spring training, saying that the approach of Dombrowski is asinine. And you can't go in and try to win a championship with no designated roles in the bullpen. Maz, when's the last time a team won when no one had the seventh, eighth, ninth role set? It doesn't work. And this guy has been around for God knows how long, and he doesn't get it. Like, I know Kimbrel wanted a ridiculous amount of money, and I agree with not paying him the ridiculous amount of money, but at least you know that the guy was a freaking closer. I don't know what the hell they have over there now.
Tom, as usual, good call.
Well, look, again, he's right. I mean,
it's maybe the best assessment of the Red Sox bullpen. I don't know what the hell they got over there now.
Right, like, how come they had no one up when Brazier was getting in trouble? Because everyone else they have out there sucks.
Pretty succinct, simple, yet accurate analysis is how I would assess it. He's right. And again, you know, we had an earlier caller say, why wasn't anyone up, you know, raising that question? It all unraveled pretty fast. After the error, the game ended in six pitches. Six pitches.
So okay. It's not like, right, it's not like he was teetering out there.
No, you know, right, he didn't go to full count and then go full count again. Yeah. Six pitches later, it was over. Okay, so all he did was give up an error and then a single and then on the second pitch, a home run, and it was over. So to me, the question is, you know, the team now has more problems than they thought they were going to have. That bullpen thing was always there to undermine them, and now it's undermining them.
Yeah, I mean, just easy content is for us to go back to that Dombrowski quote that Tom was talking about the first week where he says, well, we've got, you know, Thornburg out there, and I know people don't realize him. We've got Wright out there, and we've got Brazier, and we list all these guys, and they've all either gotten hurt, they're done, they suck, like
suspended,
the whole list of them. Not one of them.
Yeah, and by the way, Barnes had already pitched in that game last night. Barnes pitched the eighth, right? Workman seventh, Barnes eighth. So now who's left? I mean, who are you going to give the ball?
Seriously, right. There's no one left.
Yeah, up. Hector Velasquez?
Chelsea in New Hampshire on the Bruins. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, guys. I think Pastrnak is obviously still hurt. It's one thing to kind of slap shot, but to handle the puck you need to, and it's not there. Keep him off the point on the power play. That's all I ask. Thanks.
Okay, Chelsea. I think you're 100% right. I think he's still hurt, but I think it's beyond that. I think he's got a compete issue or a maturity issue in terms of playing through injury and what that takes and what it entails at this time of year. I'm not sure if he fully understands it or is wired that way. I don't think he understands how to compete on the ice. I mean, every time he gets hit, he came back and scored after taking a big hit, but he never hits back. And Amonte's big with this with me when he watches it. He's like, whenever he takes a stick, whenever he takes a shot, he never gives it back. Never. He just takes it or goes down. And so I think he's got a problem with that, and I think he's hurt physically, and I think he, on top of it, he might be medicated to deal with that pain. And so you add that up, hurt, loopy, lack of confidence, lack of compete, and you add that all up, and that's what it looks like.
And no, it's a good point that anytime, you know, let's say in a scrum, he gets face washed, even Krejci.
Sure.
Pushes back.
Yeah, you put your mitt back in the guy's face.
Absolutely. Krejci pushes back. And I cite him for obvious reasons. He's more of a finesse player. And maybe over the years he learned some of that, but that has to change. Otherwise, this guy's going to be a puddle in the playoffs.
So to me now, the story with Pastrnak is the coach and how you manage him. And if Pastrnak starts taking care of the puck and if he stops turning it over, then fine. I mean, and if he does that, great. I can't predict the future. You know that. I'm just telling you, to this point, he's been a liability out there. He's a freaking disaster. You know how many odd man rushes the Bruins gave up on the power play? And let me clarify, their power play? How many scoring chances Columbus got while you had the man advantage?
No, I think it was like a half dozen.
And the reasons are twofold. One is this four forward formation with Torrey Krug, who's a tweener anyway. And then either Marchand or Pastrnak or, you know, a forward out there at the blue line, you're just inviting odd man rushes the other way, and the guys you have back then are not true defensemen. And so you're just asking for it, and they get it, man. They get it consistently. They get chances again. So it's that four-man formation that I think they have to change. But it's primarily Pastrnak. It's primarily when Pastrnak's out there, he can't be out there. You can't put him out on the blue line. And I know sometimes he rotates up and he doesn't start there. He should never be there. Never be there. You want to have him on the power play, that's fine. He has to be down low, and you have to go to two defensemen. You're getting exposed on that.
So they got to go with McAvoy and Krug if they're going to do that. McAvoy's got to be out there. Right now, I have a lot of confidence in McAvoy.
But so Cassidy did something like that in the third period. It took him way too long. It took him way too long. On their first power play, Marchand was exposed at the blue line. Okay, Krug made a bad pinch. Then Marchand had to get back. That led to a penalty shot. Then the next three or four times were Pastrnak. And Cassie kept putting him out there. Kept putting him out there. In the third period, he was putting him out there. Up a goal. When all Pastrnak is doing is turning the puck over and creating odd man rushes the other way. I thought Cassie did a horrible job with that last night. You have got to be aware of the situation. And you've got to close out that period. At that point, it's not about Pastrnak's confidence. It's not about developing a young player. It's not about not burying a guy. It's about getting through that period and tying a series. I thought they absolutely should have plastered his ass to the bench in the third period. And instead, he played more in the third period than he did in the first, which I just hate. I just hated. He played 5:16 in the first, 5:13 in the second, and 5:23 in the third.
And that's total time or even strength?
That's all time, even time. Total time on ice. Even strength that went up as well. His power play time went down because they yanked him off the power play because finally, Cassidy said, I can't keep doing this. And Cassidy reamed him out on the bench after the last one. This stupid little giveaway at the blue line right in front of the Bruins bench. Finally, Cassidy went down to the end of the bench and said something to him and gave it to him a little bit. And then the next time they were on the power play, Krejci was out there. And it settled down. Everything settled down. It took Cassidy way too long to do that. Way too long. And that, to me, this is an issue. They have got to recognize where Pastrnak is right now. And when you're preserving a lead and you're in a defensive posture, he can't be out there. And on the power play, he can't be anywhere near the blue line right now. And the coach has got to recognize that. We'll get back to your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2 seconds left in this one, and the horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask was brilliant tonight. Patrice Bergeron scored twice, both coming on the power play. The Boston Bruins again have come on the road to even a series at 2 games apiece for the Blue Jackets. It's the first time they have lost on home ice here during the playoffs. It's going to be game 5 in Boston on Saturday night. Your final, Bruins 4 and the Blue Jackets 1.
All right, it's final hour of an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bruins last night, Celtics tonight, Sox last night on the board. You guys have been waiting patiently. We'll zip through your calls and then sort of circle back to some of our Bruins thoughts from last night. Let's go to Noah in Westfield on the Bruins. Go ahead, Noah.
Hi, guys. Two quick thoughts. One, I think that...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yo, listen, he's a proud guy. You're talking again about, what is he, 22, 23? He's a young guy that's still going through some of that maturity process and learning how to compete this time of year. He's got good players around him to help him through it. He's got the trust of his coaching staff. So we're going to allow him to play through it. He's a great kid if you know him at all. He cares a lot. He's matured over the years, but he's still a young guy learning what it takes. And we're here to help him with that. And as long as he keeps working hard, he's going to get every opportunity to get out there. We may limit certain situations because we're trying to win. But at the end of the day, we got a lot of faith in David. And hopefully it just keeps getting better for him.
Pasternak says he'll limit it in some situations. They need to limit him in more situations. He needs to be more limited. And all the things that he said about him, fine, great. Proud guy, 22, still learning, maturity process, great kid. All of it, understood. You got to develop him. I'm not telling you to bury him. But you're up a goal and you can't hold on to the puck and you're fighting for your playoff lives. He shouldn't be on the ice in the third period. I don't know how many times I can say that. I'll just play one more Cassidy cut here. Cassidy finally did take him off the power play. So, Jimmy, this is, just so I get it wrong, I screwed it up before. It's Cassidy number 5, sitting Pasternak on that power play for David Krejci. Go ahead.
We made the switch on the power play. I thought Krejci had played on there when you know that, right? Pasta was out for 5 weeks, and our power play didn't take a hit. He's good over there, more of a passer than shooter, and right now we weren't getting that many shots from the elbow. So Krejci's good at chucking it into the bumper there to Berge or maybe some tips, so we went that route. Did it make a difference? I don't know, but Pasta went back out on the other group. We're not going to bury him. He's always going to be on the power play. If he stops working and doing some other things, then we'll look at that, but right now I don't see that. I wish he was harder on the puck in front of our bench in the second period. It was the only thing I said to him, you know, if you're going to keep it in, we've got 4 forwards out there. You got to be committed to keep it in and, you know, dig in and take a hit or whatever you have to do there. That was the only dissatisfaction I had with him. He muffed some plays. He's, you know, there might be a comfort level there. I don't know what's going on there. It's not like him. I think he'll play his way out of that, but he does have to compete hard on those pucks, and that was a message to him and my only criticism of him.
Yeah, Cassie let him have it, finally.
What does he mean by comfort level, by the way?
So maybe it's – maybe, again, this is tied into that maturity process that he's hurt and he's learning how to play hurt. Maybe – I don't know. Maybe these guys do things to play with injuries and he won't do them, or he hasn't adjusted to them, or, you know, the pain medication, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's something all tied in with that. Because it started with the physical injury. Like, I acknowledge that, of course. But –
Everyone has some sort of physical thing. That's the whole point. The giveaways at the Blue Line, Mass, are just selfish, unforgivable
things. Sure, yeah. No, they're inexcusable. You can't have that happen.
That is...
The number one goal there is to make sure that there's not an odd man rush the other way.
So I don't care if you're hurt, loopy on drugs, injured, lacking confidence, young, old. You have the puck out at the Blue Line. You hold the fate of your hand on your the fate of your team on your stick. You can't give up the puck there. You can't. And he did it over and over and over again. And the coach kept putting him out there to do it. That can't happen. So there's the Pastrnak thing. Back to your calls on everything. Here's Greg and Lincoln on the Celtics tonight. Hi, Greg.
You know, it's insane. Vegas is giving the Bucks points. And I don't know how them or you could possibly believe that the Bucks are not going to crush the Celtics tonight. You know,
What's the line?
Well, they're giving it's plus 2.5 for the Bucks. They're going to give the Celtics have to win by 3. That's insane. And here's why. The Bucks made a big adjustment in game 2. They moved George Hill and they put him on Kyrie. And they figured it out. And the Celtics are not going to get the easy buckets they got in game 1 again in this series. And they're not going to put up the same numbers that the Bucks are putting up. They can't hang with the Bucks and get in the 100-plus, 120-point scores.
I got news for you. George Hill guarded Kyrie in part of game 1.
I was going to say, George Hill's the difference maker.
No, please stop. That's a bunch of crap. The difference is they defended the paint better, and that relates to their big guys. Go back and look at game 1. The Celtics were able to go in there and score. Against Milwaukee this year, wildly unusual. So you want to say that they defended him better? They did, but it wasn't George Hill. Okay, their big guys policed the paint way better than they did in game 1.
The Celtics are only giving 2.5?
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's low, yeah.
I love the Celtics.
Yeah, the number was low. I was surprised by that number, too. So
feels
you know,
like free money.
Maybe. I don't know. Don't you smell a rat with that kind of
a
spread?
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, fine.
I mean, again,
that's the only thing that would give me pause. The Celtics are going to win tonight big.
The Milwaukee spread in game 2 was 7.
8. Both games 1-2 were like 7 or 8. They stayed the same.
I mean, that's a big number.
All right. Again, Vegas is in on the Bucks, and I don't know why. Pete in Delaware on Pastrnak. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. As far as Cassidy goes, man, I think he's a great coach, but it did bother me last night the way he dealt with Pastrnak. I wish he was a little tougher. I don't want to bury the guy, but at the same time, you know, Columbus has a coach on the other side that is going to keep bringing it and bringing it and bringing it to Pastrnak. That team is not going to stop. I just wish he'd get a little tougher. Love. He does it with Tuca. I know he's young, but you know what? He's making a ton of money. It's time to be mature.
So, yeah, there's a whole, you know, at the podium thing, I think he's protecting him, which is one thing. Fine, that's an approach that you take as a coach. Putting him back on the ice time and time and time and time again to give away the puck for odd man rushes the other way when you're fighting for your playoff life is irresponsible. It's just he can't do it. He shouldn't do it. And that four-forward power play, he's got to scrap that. He's got to put another D-man out there. They've given up way too many chances when they're on the power play. It's ridiculous.
Although, you know, again, like they did score 2 goals last night, right? And I'm not defending the turnovers. I'm just saying that.
Well, no, but so they scored.
But the special teams, you could argue, again, were the difference in the game.
Okay, and the Bruins were good on them. Except for – but it – Tuukka Rask was your greatest asset. I mean, if it wasn't for Rask, how many shorthanded goals could you have given up last night?
3.
I mean, so just because your goalie bailed you out doesn't mean you did the right thing on your power play. You didn't. You categorically did not. And, you know, what they need to do is start – when they do power play percentages, they only, you know, compute how many goals you score versus how many attempts you have. They got to start backing. If you give up shorties, they should hold that against you. And if they counted shorthanded goals, the Bruins' power play percentage would look a heck of a lot worse. The Cassidy thing, I love that he was more aggressive than Claude, and they needed it desperately, and it's been a good thing for the organization, and I like Cassidy's approach overall. So I'm glad he's aggressive. I'm glad they're more offensive. In the regular season, go ahead, put your 4 forwards out there. Like, okay. Third period, up a goal on the road in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Now it's time to sit the guys that are defensive liabilities and close that out. And I think he needs to get to that place as a coach.
I like the idea of putting more McAvoy out there. To me, that's what I would do.
Lori in Harvard. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi. Yeah, so I was watching the game last night, and I've been watching it pretty much throughout the season. And watching Pasta last night was painful. And what I see is that when you have him out there, Columbus is on a perennial power play. And what you haven't discussed is the burden that it puts on the rest of the team and the wear and tear down the road if we make it through this round. I'd like to hear your comments.
Sure. I mean, they all got to get their ass back. They're taking penalties. You know, Marchand gives up a penalty shot. Yeah, and that wasn't Pastrnak, so I don't want to throw him on that. But that all those odd man rushes are getting up on the power play are going to kill them if they keep giving them up.
Well, and if Bergeron's stuck in the middle there too, he's 25 feet behind the play.
Yeah, he plays down low in the slot.
Right, so it's not like he can help out on that play either.
I'd even put Chara back on the power play, but not in front of the net.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'd put him on the blue line, let him fire away.
No, I'd put McAvoy out there. I don't want Chara handling the puck in that situation either. I'd go McAvoy.
He'd make the simple play. He's like a dipsy-do around out there. You see Pastrnak with, like, the big figure eight, and then he loses the puck. He doesn't even know he's losing it. The next thing, his head's in the clouds. The next thing you know, the Jackets are racing the other way. Char's not going to do that. He'll dump it into the corner.
Yeah, but I also want the threat of scoring.
Okay, so McAvoy, I agree with you. It should be McAvoy first. I'm just telling you, go to two defensemen out there. Put 2D. Until you can settle things down and stop giving up those rushes, put 2D. We've got Pete in North Andover. Hi, Peter. I'm sorry. I'm late. Peter, hang on. We'll get right back to you after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think our guys will be ready. We're a resilient group. I don't want to say it's do or die, because it's not. But clearly, you don't want to go down two. It goes our way. It's the best 2 out of 3. We have home ice advantage. That's a good spot to be in.
McAvoy along the near side. Fired. They score! David Pastrnak!
Krug holds it in now. Stolen away. And it's Boone Jenner shorthanded. Marchand is up to the ice with him and takes him off the puck and commits a penalty in the process. Penalty shot, Bob. Angles hard to the right wing circle. Now slows down, shoots, and missed the net.
Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron!
Jones sends it toward the net and tipped off a stick, and it went high, and it winds up over the glass and out of play. Nobody knows where it is. Got to hit the netting, and here's a shot to score, but I think that's going to come off the board, and they're going to let it count. And I will gladly have the worst goal call of my career and have it count. I'm good with that.
Far circle, high slot, Jones, Rister, Rask fought it off, rebound far side, Rask able to make the stop on Panarin and covers.
Well, Rask has been outstanding this period.
Sent up top, here's Chara, tees it up, looking for a bank out in front, it comes, fired, they score! The Ohio kid, Sean Corrali! Near circle, Pastrnak, one-timer, out in front, they score! Pasternak's one-timer, knocked down by Bergeron, buried by Bergeron! Bergeron with a power play goal, and the Bruins with a 4-1 lead, and they're heading for the exits here at Nationwide.
Thanks, Jimmy Stewart, putting together another Game 4 look. Going side up, Game 5 tomorrow. We got Celts Game 3 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tip it shortly after 8. Pre-game starts 7:30. And that's that. We'll finish it up here on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group with your phone calls. Let's grab Seth in the car. Seth, what do you got for us?
I just want to talk about how poorly replay is being used in the NHL. I mean, in general, I think replay is a good thing, but I think that when it's being used this bad, it's detrimental. So I can be in the zone for 45 seconds, a centimeter of my blade comes off the blue line, and we can call that goal back. But when the puck clearly hits the upper net above the glass, everyone loses it. You put it in the net, we can't call that back. Like, is this real life?
Seth, hashtag replay doesn't work. I agree with you. I mean, I disagree with you. Replay across all sports, another example how replay doesn't solve the issue. Your thoughts on the thing last night?
I mean, everything he said is dead on. Completely asinine that that can't be reviewed. Maybe of all the amazing, frustrating, crazy things we've seen in sports over the years, last night is up near the top of the list. That is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
I was equal parts angry and stunned because I thought it was going to almost be like the offsides thing. Like, okay, they're going to let play resume, then they'll look back at it. But no, that never happened. So it's like,
Somehow they used to not be able to review that. And then a couple of years ago, there was a controversial play. They said, okay, we'll review it. And then they put it up to the GM vote. And they said, well, when do you want to be – how far do you want to be able to roll back the clock? Because on offsides, you can enter the zone offsides. It's not called at the time. You can skate around for 3 minutes, take 3,000 shots, 3,000 passes. Then they look at it, and they'll bring it back and put those 3 minutes back on the clock. On this – they say if you make one pass, you can't go back and review it. It's over. Like, why? Why would you allow all, you know, you able to roll back the clock an unlimited amount of time on an offsides thing, but not on that thing? Why? Explain that to me. How could it possibly? Explain it.
You got me. I don't know. Like, as you're saying it out loud, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with possession. Like, if it comes off the net, anyone can possess it? Maybe.
No, it's got nothing to do with anything. It's stupid.
But no. So that's it, Murray. That's the right answer. Your answer is the right answer. Like, I'm sitting here trying to somehow figure it out when there really is nothing to figure out. If it hits the net, you erase everything. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, that in this day and age you could have replay. You could have high def, the whole nine yards, and a million cameras in the arena. And that cannot be reviewed?
Tuukka Rask said it best, Jimmy. Can you pull up Tuukka on the disputed goal, please? Just let me know when you have it. I mean, he said it best as well. This is why I'm telling you replay doesn't work. If there was no replay and they just missed the call, then you say the refs missed the call, and I grew up with that. And, you know, it got frustrating when refs blew the call, but you sort of lived with it. Now, it's 10 times more frustrating because we have replay. You've installed and implemented this entire massive system to go correct easy, obvious mistakes, and you won't do it? Why? And now it's like you look at the GMs, the league, the people making decisions, the motivations. You're like, you got this massive mind bleep when back in the day it used to be they missed the call. Replay does not end controversy. It's created more controversy. Replay does not always get it right. In fact, I feel they get just as much wrong now as they did before replay was implemented in all these sports. Hashtag replay does not work. Tuukka Rask said the same thing. Go ahead.
Well, did it hit the net?
Yes.
No, it's this day and age. I think it's crazy that the refs don't see it. I think why the league can call, you know, and they're watching the game, right? So, I mean, what if that's an overtime goal? It didn't cost us, but I think it's just funny that.
So stop right there. I mean, that point right there. What if that were overtime of an elimination game?
You know, when I heard him say that last night, I went, oh, my God, what a great point. Like, because it didn't occur to me. If that were that, a game would be decided by that. Can you imagine what type of pounding the league would take on that? And rightfully so, by the way. So I get if they're smart, they won't wait till the off season to review this.
Murray said between series.
Yeah,
but I know Maz did, but yeah, that's what they have to.
Yeah, between series
before the conference final, they're going to change this.
Yeah, between series, they should. They got to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again in these games, especially if Columbus is in it, because apparently this is a common occurrence in that arena.
The Bruins got screwed on another controversial one last year. Apparently their netting's a little too taut, so it bounces back into the surface easily, where here, again, when you see it here all the time, it'll dribble down to the bottom of the net and either get caught in the bottom of the net, or it will just sort of trickle down on the outside of the boards, you know, where the fans are sitting. Because it's a loose net. I don't want to get into the tautness of the net, but that thing is wired a little too tight, and it always bounces back onto the surface. So, I don't know. Maybe the refs could have known that and watched it. You did have eight eyes out there. You had four guys who could have looked up and seen the thing. Both play-by-play guys called it in real time. Both, Jimmy, do you have our call of it? So, and we played you the NBC call. They called it in real time. Listen to Judd Surratt. They didn't need a replay. I needed a replay. I didn't know where the hell the thing was. Watch on TV. It was hard. I couldn't hear the play-by-play. But Judd, in real time, heard it. Go.
High slot Jones. Wrister coming in. Deflected, and it sails into the netting.
Did that hit the
anybody
netting?
Spot it? Yes. Out in front, fired. They score. They've got
hit
a
the
check.
Netting.
They
hit
got
the
a check.
That should have been a whistle. The initial shot came in and hit the netting in the back. Bruins are right off the bench right now going to complain. There should have been a whistle.
So they'll take a look. This puck left the surface, came back into play.
Those are not even a conference. They're saying they didn't see it. This is unreal.
It doesn't matter. Toronto should be able to indicate that there's a mechanism in place for this very thing.
No, there's not, Judd. No, there's not. And we all thought there would be. Obviously, of course, if replay, it clearly went out. This is coming back. Wait a minute. They can't review it. Why? What?
I know, unbelievable. Really, unbelievable. I told you, when it initially happened in the game, and I saw the confusion, I went, oh, God. And then they started talking about the puck being having gone out of play. I started to get sick to my stomach. I'm like, well, they'll reverse this, right? They'll reverse this. And then I saw them line up for the faceoff with the referee ready to drop the puck. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. This is going to stand. They're going to let this stand. And then after that, I remember thinking, it's like it felt like the Bruins were losing at the end of the first period when, in fact, they were up 2-1. I was sick. I thought, if they lose this game and that play is a factor, oh, my God, is that going to be hard to live with? Like, that is going to be impossible to live with.
So that happened last night. Pete, North Andover, sorry to leave you hanging. Pete, what do you got?
No problem, guys. Hey, you know, it seems like there's a little bit more productivity of the first line last night with Bergeron. But overall, it seems to be some inconsistency. So who do you guys think, which line has been the best performing line for them overall? And who do you think, which line will be the biggest factor for them to have success going forward?
Okay, well, you need the Bergeron line. But to this point, I think Coyle's been their most consistent guy. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm not telling you he leads the team in scoring, but I think, for the most part, I see him on a consistent basis more than anyone yet.
But even that one's had flaws because of his dumb turnovers.
Oh, excellent point.
And has he been as noticeable to you the last couple of games?
Not quite. Was it last night that he had that break-in that he got on his backhand and he just couldn't get off? And yes, and that's where Backus got cross-checked.
Oh, right.
So he was in on that. I was just going to say, I don't think their first line got going last night. I think Bergeron scored a couple times on the power play.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll take it.
I mean, fine, yes. So Bergeron got off the Schneid. I'll take it. Marchand was hot garbage. He played poorly. Marchand did. And Pastrnak, again, I think is a basket case.
That delay of game penalty for Marchand, I wanted to choke him.
Oh, my God.
Talk about time to do something more with it than chuck it.
Oh, my God.
Stands.
Like that one, it was like you've – and this is what I mean. I said to you earlier, who are you more agitated with? And I don't know if I phrased it that way the first time. Pastrnak or Marchand? And for me – it's Marchand because of the stupidity factor. Like, I look at Pastrnak and I say, the guy's a puddle.
Right, he's hopeless.
He's like melting, right? He's like losing his mind. He just can't handle it. So I look at him and say, it's a breakdown. Marchand, I look at it and I say, this guy's an idiot.
Josh in Fall River, what are your thoughts on last night?
Hey, guys, I was just talking about Tuukka Rask. I thought he played pretty well, and I thought he's been lights out. But I also noticed that he's starting to handle the puck a little bit more. And he's starting to come out, just like the other night when he made that nice outlet pass to Pastrnak before he gave it to Bergeron on the breakaway. I was just wanting to hear your thoughts about that. And David Backus, do you think that elbow on David Backus should be a suspension? I'll let you guys talk.
No, I don't.
I don't either.
He got elbowed. He's fine. He got elbowed. There's still, you know, not every elbow should be a suspension now. I mean, there's a penalty on the books for 2 minutes called elbowing. So as long as there's still that level, if someone hits you in the noggin with his elbow and you're okay, that's elbowing.
So it's
not a suspension.
I'm trying to remember the whole timeline now because as the officials were conferring, I thought they were going to give 5 minutes as a gift back to the Bruins for school.
So did I.
Well, I think a lot of those power plays were gifts.
Yeah, so I think there was some of that last night. There's no question that they recognized, boy, we really hosed them with that call. So we're going to give them a couple of extra power plays. And then the Backus thing happened, and I thought, oh, they're going to give them five here to do the Bruins a solid because they feel bad that they, you know, that there was such great injustice with the flipping puck going into the crowd and them allowing a goal. Like, I thought that was coming. But 2 minutes, and I would say no on the suspension.
Right, me too. Rask stick handling. That was a great clear.
I thought it was the best pass of the night. Like, now look, and he can be a train wreck handling the puck.
Brutal.
So, but he came up, grabbed it, and fired it up there, and I thought, what a great play. That was a great play, and it was a terrific pass. He banked it off the boards right to Pastrnak. It was unbelievable.
Okay, that's going to put a wrap on us, on our stuff. Mazza got the baseball reporters at 6. We have the final word coming up next, including fresh Fuppets that you don't want to miss, so stick around.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. So we have the Fuppets again from
Fresh
Hardy.
Fuppets.
To
love
rerun.
It.
So go ahead there, Jimmy.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm mediocre. What do you got?
Hi, what do you think of the Bronx chances tomorrow night?
I don't love them.
Oh, really?
Chris in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
You guys don't talk about Ralphie Devers playing gold glove third base. Then he gets big hits in big spots. Why aren't you guys talking about that? Don't you guys get paid for that?
He's been a butcher for most of the year. Like what? So he made a couple of good plays over the weekend? And like, what's this jackass's problem?
It's cranky. The weather. It's the weather and the rain. It made me mental trying to come in here, so that's why I got a hair across my eyes.
Cranky. Well, you Bostonians can't handle a little rain. You babies, all you people need to learn how to drive. It's just water. The car goes right through it.
Overall, I was in a relatively optimistic, good mood. A guy like that makes me want to start ripping Devers.
I don't feel good.
Very simple. Again, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you saw all the visuals. So thanks to Hardy and our video department there. Julie and our video department do an excellent job. If you did not see it on the radio, you'll catch on our socials.
Yes, it's all up on the Felger and Maz socials, Facebook, everywhere else.
Beauty.
Hardy also put together a Mad Mic on drafting running backs.
Matt in Dedham on the Patriots draft.
Well, I know y'all hate running backs, but let me tell you something. Why y'all just got the best value in the entire draft. Bo Scarborough, 6'4", 250. He could not start over Damian Harris. Alvin Kamara left Alabama because he could not start over Damian Harris. Josh Jacobs spent his entire career at Alabama and couldn't start over Damian Harris. Rex Waterhead is out.
Roll Tide.
I'm not losing my mind over the running back in the third round because that's when you're supposed to take them. What overall pick was it?
87.
Yeah, whatever.
87 is fine. 27 is when I have a problem with it, or 17, or if you're really dumb, 7.
Bo Scarborough. 6'4", 230 pounds, could not start over Damian Harris at Alabama.
But does that tell you they're not totally sold at the running back they took at 32 last year?
The short yardage, yeah, I think you can make a case.
You draft
a
running back at 32, you'd like to think you'd give it to him on a 1 yard line.
Alvin Kamara transferred to Tennessee because he did not want to play behind Damian Harris.
Congratulations.
You got a little pretty male thing.
It's so perfect. I just want to go on with the sports takes, and Maz wants to grab ass with the caller.
I just wanted to mark his accent. The southern accent, though, is a curse, right? Because you can't possibly have one and sound smart. You do. You just, no matter. You could be like, reciting Einstein's theory of relativity. But you do it in that southern accent, and you're going to listen to him going, dude, you sound like a jack.
Maz, what do you have coming up on the baseball reporters?
So, tough loss for the Red Sox last night, obviously. We will look at that again. The consummate team of just when you think they're starting to turn the corner, one step up, two steps back. David Price had some interesting comments about the state of the actual baseballs. Not the game in the aggregate. The actual balls used on the field. We'll touch on that. We'll also touch on the One of the real hidden problems with the Red Sox of late that people aren't talking enough about. We'll get to that as well, and then matchups, all that kind of stuff. And obviously the bullpen's a factor too.
All right, folks, big weekend here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Not just Maz's baseball reporters coming up next. We got Celtics tonight, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got Bruins tomorrow, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Murray and Gasper tomorrow at 11 a.m.
11 a.m. We should have the Celtics on Sunday, but the NBA is stupid.
Okay, well, exactly. Massive weekend. Stay tuned for Maz and Murray. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at 2, Anthony. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.